You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Hard-hitting analysis.
I saw you got him in your fantasy pool there, your little fantasy pool on TSN.
That's not this show. That's another show.
Sure. I guess you could call it that.
So what, you can't confirm or deny that you took Pasternak?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Well, from that standpoint, I guess I gotta let you off the hook.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, here we go. This is the much-anticipated afternoon. We've been waiting for this for a long time. The NHL playoffs, they kick off this evening. Bill Peters will join us, the head coach of the Calgary Flames, at 4:30.
Yeah.
They start their series against Colorado tomorrow night. The Leafs are probably in the air as we speak on their way down to Boston. They start their series tomorrow night. And the NBA season comes to an end tonight. The Jays are off. They're back in action tomorrow night down at Fenway. There's a lot going on in the sports world. The Masters beginning tomorrow. And I think it's important. TV's off in the studio starting tomorrow.
For him?
Specifically for you. I'm concerned.
I think we should have it on. You know why?
You got to have it on.
Because we will be in the middle of like a pretty good, like we'll be breaking down the games the night before. And 5 minutes later, he'll break it down again. I think it'll be great.
No, there's no more updates. We provide Masters updates tomorrow. What do you think of my idea that I just brought up, by the way?
Which one?
You have a baby on the way in the next couple months. Me and Noodles are taking...
A couple weeks.
Yeah. It better not be a couple of months.
It's a couple weeks.
Me and Noodles will be taking a broternity leave.
I kind of like that idea.
That would be... Your buddy's having a kid, so we're having a broternity leave.
I think we could do one show, maybe from like the hospital or something.
Well, remember we were going to do a show from my house when I blew my knee out?
Yeah.
Like that was the plan. You guys were all going to come out, and I was on like Percocets and stuff.
I think we could do that. Now, when the baby comes home from the hospital...
No, I can't deal with another kid.
Yeah, you guys aren't going to want to deal with that.
Listen, I've got two kids and one, then 20-month-old, he just yells. Just yells. That's all he does. Yell all day. Screech and yell.
You've got one thing to do if you ever do another thing in your life. If you want to stay sane, you go online and you... Get a night nurse. Do you hear me? You get your life back. You get your life back.
I will admit, night nurses do. We had a night nurse. It helped.
I can tell you right now, it's never going to happen.
Why?
It's never going to happen because my wife...
Do you not like sleep?
I personally like sleep. My wife won't do it. She won't do it. She wants to be the one that's getting up. Listen, she's not going to be happy about it.
She doesn't want to be doing that.
She will not do it. It's never going to be part of our program.
I will say these night nurses show up at 10 o'clock at night, depending on how.
Eight.
Well, I had it at 10. 10 o'clock at night, if you wanted to, you could hand the baby to the night nurse and go and get 8 hours
but
sleep
what are you,
and wake
royalty
up.
Royalty or something?
No,
like
if
Meghan
you
Markle
to,
and
no,
Harry
here,
over
here,
here?
Here's what the nurse does, though.
You tell me after a week what you think. You want to circle back.
The nurse does a great job. And
how would you know you're asleep?
No. I'm a light sleeper. You know me. I barely sleep.
Oh, so what? If she's throwing a rave, you would get up and
I would watch.
Stop
no. What I'm saying is the lady showed up. Her name was Fola. She was brilliant. Chatted with her. What she did... was a lot, it's all for the wife. It's not for you at all.
Oh, it was for me, too.
Well,
she walked in, grabbed the baby, nice little bath, and then, Jeff, go downstairs and watch some hockey.
But every 3 hours,
yes!
Every 3 hours, this lady will come in with the baby and say to the mom, you got to feed it, because if they're breastfeeding or whatever.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I'm assuming you're in the bed, too, with your wife.
Yes.
And out of nowhere, the nurse is
comes
in
with
room,
the baby,
and you're
says,
you're out like a light. You're
I'm
dead
out.
Asleep.
I'm but
you could be a naked sleeper and
no,
in a
no,
full
no. Be
blown starfish, and this woman could be walking in.
Yeah,
and well, what happens?
You interview the people before that. You don't just hand them the keys to your.
This guy says go online. It's like
no,
Yelp.
No. There are reputable
and find out which
there are
night
reputable
nurse.
Companies that you go and you interview these people before they come into your house.
That's $20,000 you'll ever spend.
Well, I don't know if that's a little rich.
No,
this guy had the full package.
Yeah,
this guy was parenting about a half an hour a day.
Yeah,
but I had two other kids. You idiot! One was still a baby. I was like, I can't deal with this. I got to go to sleep.
Yeah, no,
you
it
pay
is.
The money. shows up, bathes the kid, and then just takes control.
I will say, which was very impressive.
Go to Gabby's down the street and watch hockey.
I'll be honest. The baby at 10 o'clock, you know, the baby's sleeping. At midnight, I would walk by the room just to see.
For what? What are you going to walk by?
But you poke
in the living room. Everything
and
was
this
under
person,
control.
You know what the lady said to me? I go, here's the Wi-Fi password. If you'd like me, I'll put a TV in the room and that. She goes, that's my TV, staring at the crib with the baby. Like,
I would just
this is how focused
say,
she was.
That would scare me.
And in the morning, there was a written report as to what the baby did all night. 11:15.
What could the baby have possibly
changed the diaper.
Doing?
Slept from this. I did this. I did this. It was a written report as to what that nurse did that night. But I helped feed the baby with the mom.
Okay. Well, so we're wasting time here because it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you guys are trying
happen.
To convince me it's not going to happen. But I will say this. I don't trust anybody that doesn't accept the Wi-Fi password.
She did, but...
Eventually, she smartened up. She was playing the role, hero mode, first night. And then she realized, what the hell am I doing here? The baby's asleep. I got to get on the phone here. And see what's going on in the real world. It's not going to happen. Yeah. But we actually had an appointment today, my wife and I, and you know we're getting close. You know, it's almost go time here. And somehow it came up. We were talking. There was a student that was there, like kind of helping.
Right.
Right. And the student asked me what I do for a living. I don't know how this came up.
Yeah.
I don't know why it turned to me. Like why what I do for a living really?
What is it anybody's
mattered.
Business?
Well, I don't care. I'm not offended by it. What I'm saying is, you know, I don't know why I'm speaking. You know, it's more about the baby and my wife. But anyway, so we get to this conversation, and I say, I'm in radio and sports media. And she starts saying, well, she's a big Raptors fan.
Right.
And a Leaf fan. But she goes, you know, I got a lot of faith in the Raptors. And she turns and she goes, but the Leafs are playing the Bruins, so they don't have a shot. And it dawned on me, you can't escape that type of negativity in this city right now. You cannot escape it.
Everyone's got that mindset?
Well, I think there's a portion of the fan base that they're just eternally optimistic. And then there's a portion that forces themselves to be optimistic. But I think there are so many people that just have, you know, a warped mentality when it comes to it's a two-pronged attack.
Yes.
One, the Leafs have not won a playoff series in 15 years.
Yeah.
That's going to make you a little bit jaded. You know, that's going to lead to some skepticism and you being a little bit cynical when it comes to your team.
03, right?
04 was the last time, right before the lockout.
All right.
The second layer to that is the whole mojo that is represented down in Boston and what the Bruins represent.
Right.
And I got to thinking, I think it'd be a totally different prediction from the media as well. Even the, you know, the experts and guys that are on all the panels like you two and myself who's on radio and all that. If you had the Leafs playing the Bruins roster, the exact same team, Marchand, Bergeron, Chara, but instead of the Bruins, they're any other team in the league. They're the Florida Panthers. I think there'd be a lot of people that would say, oh, the Leafs in seven, Leafs in six. I think because the Bruins own the Maple Leafs, people are just so
I got to be honest,
nervous.
I don't think I would be like that because I look at the Bruins roster. And
you're
look
telling
at,
me past history doesn't seep into your psyche at all that the Bruins
maybe 5%
have supplied the two most heartbreaking moments
there's
for the past 15 years.
There's scar tissue and they can't get over it.
I have zero allegiance to the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Boston Bruins.
You said it yourself about a month ago. You're like, there's something about that building, the vibe, the matchup,
but
just everything about it. You don't like it either.
No, I don't like it.
But when you're
don't.
Living it, but I look at that Bruins roster, and if that was the Florida Panthers they were playing, you know what I'd be looking at? The Bruins' success that they had 107 points, am I right? 107 points. The Leafs had 100 points. I continue to maintain that I still think this is a coin flip, but I would look at the way the Toronto Maple Leafs defended, and I'd look at the way that the Boston Bruins play a team game. That's what concerns me. I couldn't care less if this was the, you know, the Florida Panthers, the Ottawa Senators, or whatever. I look at those two teams, the way they stack up against each other. 5% is the recency bias, you know, what happened game 7, all of that. That seeps into your psyche? Absolutely. But Boston's a good team, and so are the Leafs.
Yeah, they're both good teams.
That's what I'm saying.
But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, with the Bruins, and they've built up this reputation, they deserve it. You know, they won a cup in 2010 or 2011. They went to another cup final in 13. They have a reputation of being a successful team, and I find that whenever we talk about the Bruins, it's always the positives.
Right.
Whenever we talk about the Leafs, it's always the negatives. Like, it's always, well, they don't defend.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, but they also score better than any other team in the league, real close to it, if not maybe Tampa.
Right.
They also have a goalie who, until he shows it in the playoffs, and that's a different conversation, I get it. But I really think that the Bruins just have a mental hold over this whole fan base and the whole city, and it's understandable because of what's happened.
When's the last team that you could see that, could think of that outscored their issues in the playoffs? Chicago? Antiniemi? That 2011, 2012?
Yeah, I don't remember Antiniemi what
allowed
kind of numbers
in,
they put
in
up.
In eight games, they allowed four goals or more. Now, some of those were wins. Some of those were losses. That's where Chicago kind of outscored what was going on. It's not a formula to win. Rarely.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I focus on is yeah, the Leafs can score. If they can just put a semblance of structure together on the back end, like Pittsburgh did that one year where they, by committee, without Letang, got out of their zone and got on the attack and allowed their forwards to use their skill and manage the puck, they can have success.
That one of the final games against Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay is committed to beat you in any fashion. They can club you 6-3. But they were committed that night. They had no headman. They won 2-1. And they stuck to their guns. How many performances, let's say since January 1st, can you say the Leafs were committed to that type of game? They did it one night in Nashville. I remember that.
They did it on Long Island about a week and a half ago.
Okay, so we're talking two
no,
right
there's
now.
Not a ton of them.
Okay, so you're talking two.
But again,
so what are they all of a sudden going to do it four times in seven games?
I don't know if they're going to, but is it impossible?
It is not impossible, but the probability of it is just not likely to go from one thing.
Yeah.
It's like me wheeling in here in 7 days and I'm a rake. I'm fit, I'm skinny, my jawline's chiseled. You'd be like, wow, did you ever change?
But do you really think it's that extreme? Like, don't you think the Leafs are, like, they're not getting any love from anybody? And I don't care if they do or not, because what we say and what we predict has no bearing on what happens.
We'll see it tomorrow night.
You know, I could sit here and say, oh, Carolina in four. That doesn't mean anything.
No.
You know, or it doesn't matter, but
I just
feel like...
You know what, he just said it. Tomorrow night, they're going to step on the ice, and after the first two periods, we're going to look at each other and say... They figured it out. They mean business, and they're gonna play this way.
But,
or we're gonna say that they're throwing their sticks out there, and they're gonna get their asses beat.
But I'm one or the other. I'm reserving my judgment until about game three, because they could go out and beat Boston 7-1. Doesn't mean Boston's not gonna have a response, and vice versa. If they lose 7-1 in game one, the Maple Leafs. They'll got a chance in game two. Like, I still want to see. I believe this is going to be a long series. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for either team. It's going to be a good series. Out of the eight series, pretty much this is the one I think a lot of people have circled and said, man, that's going to be good hockey. And I'm looking forward to it.
I think there's two going off tonight. I think Winnipeg-St. Louis is in a similar position.
Correct,
and San Jose-Vegas should be in a similar position.
That one...
I think they all have similar storylines, you know, outside of the history of the Bruins. You know, the Bruins have cup pedigree. They've been to cup finals. They make it every single year. But the Bruins have played really well down the stretch. St. Louis has been hotter than anybody else. And if not for St. Louis, it's Vegas that's been hot out west.
Yep.
San Jose started great, faded late. Winnipeg had all the expectations in the world, just never felt like they reached their true potential. And the Leafs, the exact same thing. I think when you look at them, they're all really being built the same way.
Right.
But I'm not sensing that people are saying, Winnipeg's got no shot. San Jose's got no shot. So why do the Leafs have no shot?
Why do those teams
have a shot, but the Leafs have no shot?
Because Winnipeg didn't have Byfuglien or Morrissey for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And Gardner was out for 6 weeks.
Right.
And Dermott was out.
Okay, but take out Morgan Rielly, because that's what Josh Morrissey is. That's what Dustin Byfuglien is. So don't take out, like, Jake Gardner is a good player.
They don't even have a D-man you could even compare to Morrissey.
Morrissey's a very good player. So Morgan Rielly's better.
No, it's like Rielly coming out and
Well, it's not Morgan Riley coming out. Riley's going to be up for the Norris.
I'm talking about Bufflin. Bufflin's their Riley. He's their go-to guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all
so
there
would be
say,
Riley, and then who would be their Morrissey?
Yeah, but it's not only when those guys went out. Like they've had a weird year in Winnipeg. Like they're still a very good team.
I think they're the best team.
I think they're going to beat St. Louis. I do. I think they're going to beat St. Louis.
I think they will too.
But you know, it's and I'm on Vegas personally against San Jose, but I think it's going to be a close. I wouldn't be
and
surprised.
I don't agree with you when you say that people are talking like it's no shot. They're just not optimistic. I think there's a difference between not optimistic and no shot. Like, I don't think people are saying, I'm not even watching. It's not worth watching. They have no shot.
No. I think they've got a shot.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I keep
they're
hearing,
just like, you know like what? They can score goals. Even the casual fan. I get asked all the time. They can score goals. Yeah, they're talented. They can skate. They can do this. But, man, in their own zone, they are horrendous.
And you can't fight that.
I can't. I'm not asking. Exactly. So how is that sustainable in a playoff series against a very talented team? I don't think it is.
It's not. I'm not.
So that's
saying
where it goes from dogs. Not optimistic.
They're underdogs. I guess I've heard Ray say multiple times over the last few days that 95% of the hockey world would be on Boston.
So why do you blame a casual Toronto fan for that?
But I'll be honest.
That's a different conversation.
Well, you're just saying. I just don't understand. How come everyone? I don't think everyone's saying they have no chance.
But saying that 95% of people would pick Boston is saying
it's overwhelming.
No chance. That's the same as Carolina and Columbus.
I'll be honest, though. More shocking than what we're talking about, I don't know how many times I've noticed people that I follow on Twitter, in their brackets, they have Boston going to the Cup over Tampa. I don't know if you've seen that.
Well, I think that's...
I'm shocked at that. I think
to be
Tampa,
original.
And... Maybe. Tampa, to me, if everyone's healthy and play to their potential... There's nobody that should beat Tampa.
Well, Craig brought up a good point today about that game. Now, it was a meaningless game at the end of the year. It was game 82 on Saturday. But Tampa, you know, they went in there and they won 6-3. And Craig's like, I wouldn't surprise me if Bruce Cassidy said, man, speed, like, that's going to be a problem potentially for us. And that's, you know, the Lightning do that better than anybody else. And it's not simply skating from A to B. It's puck movement. It's being in the right position. It's moving as a cohesive unit with pace. Tampa does it better than anybody in the league, and it's not close.
I don't think Boston's a slow team by any stretch at all. And I think, again, my opinion, but I thought Cassidy's comments was about one player, David Backes. He's like, I'm going to show respect to this guy because I'm taking him out of the lineup. I'm scratching him in the first game. So we want a little bit more speed in our game. That's instead of saying, you know what, we don't want to take a 35-year-old guy who doesn't have as much pace. I'm gonna shape my narrative that way.
Yeah,
Boston can fly.
I don't know if they fly. I think they're very smart. Like
they are just as fast as Toronto. There is no like there is you can mix and match the players. Yeah, everyone circles Chara. Guess what? Nobody defends like Chara. Like
yeah,
I say, you'll see
people,
that.
Like, you can circle Carlo. You can circle other players. Like, you know, Krejci's not a guy that's moving at a great pace. But Tavares doesn't fly either.
Right. But I'm saying, like, I don't think speed is a problem for the Boston Bruins or the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think it was... That's my personal opinion. But maybe I'm wrong. Like, I think
an area where the Leafs have to... You talk about areas and matchups. They have to win that. They have to look like... I think if they win this series, it's because you're like... A, Freddie Anderson played really well,
yeah.
But they just kept coming at the Bruins.
Right.
They skated them, you know, out of the rink.
The goat doesn't fly.
No, the goat's not going to fly.
The goat should be... If the goat plays 12 minutes a night, I think the Leafs are in trouble. Personally.
But, yeah, I don't see it happening.
I think Babcock... I said this the other day on Monday night it was. If the Leafs have rested these players or managed minutes all season long, if Austin Matthews has been at 17 and 18 minutes, why can't he play 21 in the playoffs?
He should. He's got to.
That's my point.
There's been load management effectively.
Where's the minutes coming from? It better be coming from that fourth line. Because if they score a goal or get scored on and Babcock puts a fourth line out there, that's something where... I think
that strategy's got to stop. I'm with you.
But that happened during the season. I don't know how many times I would text you. I'm like, they just gave up a goal.
Winning or losing.
Shifts after
and
goals
all of a sudden, four,
are so important.
Fourth line's out there. I'm like, why can't you come? Why can't you double down with a Matthews line that's already been buzzing? Like, that's the type
I
of stuff.
You.
That comes back. And I think Mike Babcock has that ace in his pocket. He hasn't played it yet. hasn't had to.
He's saying all the right things, like he's having so much fun and everything's great.
But these teams match up real nice. And anybody, I think it comes back to you saying, Brian, it's the recency bias, it's the city looking at Boston. But if they actually want to remove themselves from the situation, both these teams are really good teams, and it's going to be a great series.
It should be a fun series. And I think Leaf fans, you know, they really like this group that they have here. They should really like it, but they desperately want to love this group, and the only way you do that is with playoff success.
Right.
That's the only way, you know, for you to really get to that next level with the Tuckers and Roberts and Sundins and Duggies and Clarks.
Right.
You got to win. You got to win in the playoffs. And it starts tomorrow night for the Leafs. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050 at 7 p.m. tomorrow, the pregame at 6:30. And after the Leaf game tomorrow night, the Calgary Flames will start their series with Colorado at the Saddle Dome. Bill Peters, the head coach of the Flames, will join us. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and up on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2 all afternoon. Bill Peters, the head coach of the Calgary Flames, will join us in a few moments. The NHL draft lottery went down last night. I think the biggest winners were the Ottawa Senators. The fact that their pick dropped to 4.
I agree.
No, finally something happened where they don't have to have a presser and say, man, it would have been nice to have the first overall pick. It's over with now. It's done. It's almost like closure. They can start moving forward. The nightmare is over.
Yeah, it is.
Joe Sakic needs a MyPillow.
There was a bunch of cats on that panel.
Someone sent in the perfect description of Joe Sakic last night on that panel. Antonio tweeting in saying, Joe Sakic looked like Kramer in the smoking lounge episode of Seinfeld last night.
Like Jimmy Benning went in the wrong... He got into a shower kit and got the shoe polish instead of the gel.
Well, it wasn't as bad as the draft. He looked like Count Dracula.
Yeah,
it wasn't far off. Like, his lettuce is contaminated.
Well, it was more like brown lettuce.
I think he
says to
his stylist, I want jet black. Like, Jimmy, that is not your hair color.
But there was kind of brownish in there. I was looking for... you remember at the draft?
You start screwing around with your salad like that, it goes purple.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not kidding you.
Because
it burns it, and it's purple... And you're screwed for life. You got to go Messier and let it come back normal. Jimmy Benning will be Messier at the draft.
No,
to get it back on track.
No,
I'm not kidding. Yes, he will.
That's a tough conversation to have with the barber.
Yeah.
You're either purple or you're Messier.
Yeah, like we've had an incident here.
You got to say, barber, put the shoe polish away today, and we're going Messier. He's got to do a rebuild on his salad.
Yeah. You've got to build up the salad bar again.
What would you like today, Jimmy? A full rebuild.
Yeah.
You got to take it.
We're right tanking down to my hair.
Yeah, we got to draft new styles. We got a full rebuild here. We got to get young hairs going. And we got a full rebuild on my salad.
Yeah. We're tanking for a Bic.
Yeah. I'm tanking. He's got to say to his barber, I'm tanking for a full rebuild, and we got to go messy. That's what he's doing. He's tanking for a draft lottery hairstyle for next year.
But is there any type of rebuild that you can do, kind of a retooling?
We got to do a lottery draft for Jimmy's hairstyle.
A wig or a rug could do a retool.
You know this as much as anybody. Yes. Retooling on the fly never works.
He's got to rebuild scorched earth.
It's gotta be scorched. No. I'm telling you,
it's
got to
be scorched earth. It's got to be the Blue Jays.
There can be a retool on the fly.
No.
It just has to involve maybe a Costanza
that
type of rug.
Jimmy Benning's got the 2018 Blue Jay roster going right now, and he needs to start unloading pieces.
Scorched earth. Smoke's gone. Sanchez up top is gone.
Yeah.
Stroman.
Buy out Tulowitzki.
Yeah.
Tell Russell Martin you're out. Pack their bags.
I mean,
bold razor blade up top.
I was looking at it. I actually thought that it looked better this time around than the draft.
We got to do a draft lottery for the hair. Which one's he going to pick? There's different options, and we'll eliminate them. Different combinations he can get.
Scissor kick through the glass.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever been on the show anyway. Although, if he came on, he'd probably tampering or something. I mean,
I love the guy.
I think he's great. Well, how about Magic Johnson last night? Bill Peters is coming up here in a moment.
Yeah.
But, like, Jim Benning shoots from the hip.
Right.
Now, I think he's cleaned it up a little bit because when he first got on the job, he got fined a couple of times because
he was talking to,
like, literally tampering on radio, on TSN radio in Vancouver.
And on some players.
But, you know, the Magic Johnson stuff, we'll do a deeper dive into this later in the afternoon, but it kind of sounded like this guy, he really hated the fact that he couldn't tamper. So because he couldn't jump on Twitter and congratulate players without it being considered tampering, he just had to quit.
That's it, I'm out.
Like an impromptu scrum at the Staples Center, game 82, he just says, I'm done. I haven't even told the owners or anything. I'm leaving.
It's something,
like, how does that happen?
Something doesn't jive there, though. Something is weird. I don't like it.
Something's going on. I mean, I kind of think he just knows that he's not going to be able to clean it up.
Wow.
He knows that the Lakers are in big trouble. And anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later. Jerry's percentages in about an hour. The NHL playoffs start tonight. Tomorrow, the Leafs are in Boston taking on the Bruins. And then after that, the Flames are at home taking on Colorado. We head to Calgary now, catch up with the head coach of the Flames. Here's Bill Peters. How you doing, Bill?
Very good. And yourself?
We're doing well. Good. We're gearing up. Are you excited or nervous leading into the first
round? I'm excited for tonight. We finally get to watch some NHL hockey. It feels like it's been forever. So something to watch on TV tonight, and we get started tomorrow, so we're looking forward to the opportunity that we have.
Has that break been good for you guys as far as getting healthy in that, or would you have rather gone a little bit quicker?
No, it's been good. We've had a few guys that needed some time, and we've had a little bit of a bug go through a little bit, and that's all cleared up. So we've got all hands on deck, and we're as healthy as we're going to be at, you know, today as we're going to be the rest of the way. So it's all good.
Billy, how do you handle the expectations? I mean, there's different teams that go into the playoffs. Your old team, Carolina, it might be just, you know, let's not that they're happy to be there, but you guys should have expectations. You were first in the West. How do you deal with the players, or is it just kind of normal? You don't want to do anything different when your guys going into the playoffs?
No, 100% normal. We haven't changed anything. Our routine has stayed the same, and you know as well as I do, all these series are going to be outstanding, and there's going to be some good teams that go by the wayside after round one. So it's great that we got in. Obviously, that's a goal at the start of the year, and a lot of good teams didn't make it. So we cut the league in half. I'm going to say Seattle's in, so we took half the league and eliminated them. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to eliminate another half, so we're going to be down to 25% of the league left, you know, standing. And it's hard. Like, you look at some of these series, it's outstanding on paper. You know, you look at Toronto, Boston, look at San Jose, Vegas. You can go on and on and on and on, and we're excited about the opportunity to be in the playoffs and continue our season.
With Bill Peters, head coach of the Flames, sticking with that narrative about, you know, just carrying over the same process and same mentality from the regular season leading into the playoffs, one of our favorite players is Matthew Tkachuk. We talk about him all the time. And Tkachuk is a guy I got circled going into the playoffs.
He is what the playoffs are.
Yeah. He is. But as the head coach, you know, do you ask him to be more cautious in the playoffs, or do you ask him to get even crazier in the playoffs? How do you handle Matthew Tkachuk?
Well, his brilliance is himself. He's a very smart hockey player. He grew up around the game. He knows the NHL game inside out, draws a lot of penalties, and, you know, angers a lot of players, and why people love him and those types of players, and not every team has them. There's not 31 Matthew Tkachuks, Brad Marchands in the league. Is they're effective, and they're skilled, and they're competitive, and they're in the trenches, and you can count on them every shift. That's what coaches love about them, and they're dependable. So he's going to be a big part of the series for sure, and, you know, we talked today about some different scenarios, but nothing about, you know, toning it down or cranking it up. He knows what to do at the right time, and he's a gamer. So this time of year is suited perfectly for him.
Another scenario could be is a guy like Johnny Gaudreau being a target. Last playoff, certainly the teams were physical on him. They wanted to make sure and try and eliminate him from the play. Do you believe that he's learned from experience and maybe has to kind of fight through some of the things that may have been called in the regular season, but as we know in the playoffs, there's a little bit longer leash with some of the plays?
Yeah, you know what? The only thing that we hope, and we hope the standard stays relatively close to what we had all year. We know it's going to be a little bit more lenient. That's common sense. Just the slashing to the hands and to the arms, just call that, right? You're going to have to fight through traffic and screens and cutoffs and those types of things. Everyone is going to have to. McKinnon's going to have to. Landeskog's going to have to. Lindholm's going to have to. Johnny's going to have to. Just when a guy's wheeling and dealing and he gets it across the thumb or he gets it, you know, across the wrist, I'd like to see those called myself. myself, the team we're playing was 31st in penalty minutes right there. They've taken a few penalties, and we want to be disciplined, but we know what the standard's going to be, and I thought James Neal was important for us coming down the stretch, talking to our guys, you know, on off days and during the game about backing off on the referees, and this is the way it's going to be, so we know what it's going to look like.
How do you plan on handling the McKinnon line, Billy? It's a special group of players. I mean, much like your top line, every time they're on the ice, is it just like, don't turn the puck over, or can you give us some kind of coaching strategy that'll blow our minds on how to handle these guys?
No, you guys got any ideas for me?
I don't. I wouldn't want the problem either.
You know what? There's a reason Big Mac went one overall. He's a horse. He's a big, powerful man, Ren, and you know, as good as he is, he's still underrated in the league, except for guys who have to coach against him, and Landeskog's done a really good job with his career, mature beyond his years, goes to the net hard on the, you know, on the puck. He's in the trenches. That's a real good line. I don't think we're going to see him together in our building. If they are, that's fine, but I'm sure we'll see him together at some point in the series, probably when we go to Colorado. But either way, we've got home ice in the first two games, and we've got a plan, but those guys are going to have the puck. They're going to get their touches. They're going to win some shifts. They're going to spend some time. You know, McKinnon's going to pull up delay, look for some late guys. We know what it's all about, and we got to do the same thing to them. We got to make sure they play in the D zone. So I anticipate a very fast series. The part about managing the puck, that goes for everybody against all four lines. Let's be smart with the puck. Let's not turn it over and feed their transition. Gerard's going to be up the ice. Barry's up the ice. Johnson's up the ice. You know what I mean? So we know how they're going to play. They have a real good feel for how we're going to play, and I think it's going to be an exciting series.
Well, I think a lot of the focus will be, we just talked about the Goudreau line and Matthew Tkachuk, but a guy like Mark Giordano, I think, can be a real pivotal player in a series. Maybe just talk about his season, and at 35 years old, it's almost like he's found another level.
Well, he has found another level, and he's been special. He's been special right from day one for me. You know, I knew of him. I didn't know he was this good, obviously, until you get to coach a guy. You really don't know the ins and outs. But he's had a fantastic year, and he contributes as much defensively as he does offensively. His timing is impeccable, and he's a big part of what we do. He plays in every situation. He's a great leader, and he's a quiet leader, but he leads by example through work ethic and production, and the guys love him in the room. So I know he's excited about the opportunity at this age. He's excited about the season he's had to this point and doesn't want it to end.
With Bill Peters, the head coach of the Flames, we'd hate to think you're getting through a full interview without asking about your goaltending situation.
Yeah.
You know it's coming. We gave you about 8 minutes out of the gate.
Yeah, that's good. That's a record.
Yes, it would be, I would assume, especially in Calgary. But, I mean, it's been a unique scenario, to put it lightly, obviously, with David Riddick and Mike Smith. But at the same time, you guys had a ton of points. You win the West. Are you comfortable with the idea of potentially both guys getting starts in the playoffs?
Well, this is what I'm comfortable with. I know we were in the top 10 in goals against in the National Hockey League. I know that for a fact. We were ninth. So I know our goaltenders are good. I know we have a lot of confidence in both guys. I told the starter who it's going to be on Monday, which I think Noodles would appreciate. And I'm excited and proud of those guys, and our organization's kept it under wraps as long as we have. So we'll do what we always do on game day in the morning. We'll disclose our starter. We're not going to keep it a secret till game time. But we have a lot of confidence in both our guys, and they both played well coming down the stretch. We rested some guys after, I think, about game 80, maybe game 79 after San Jose. And our goaltending has been good. They're different goaltenders. There's no question about that. But we have confidence in both of their guys, or our guys, excuse me. And no different than what you see in Colorado. Grubauer got hot down the stretch, real hot. And, you know, I would assume that we're going to see him early in the series, and then we just go from there. So every day is a new day. We're going to stay with the process of naming our starter on game day, and that'll be tomorrow morning.
One guy that I've kind of been focused on, and you mentioned him early on in the conversation, is a guy like James Neal, who hasn't statistically had a great season. He's a guy who was injured and banged up and really kind of had a tough time finding his legs in Calgary so far. Is he a guy that could be an X factor for you here in the playoffs?
Yeah, no question. Nealer himself, and then that line we wanted to play a lot coming down the stretch with Bennett and Jankowski, and then Nealer missed a lot of time, and then Benny got dinged up and missed a lot of time with two different injuries. So we didn't get them as many minutes as we would have liked coming down the stretch and the opportunity that we thought we were going to get them. But that's going to be a huge line for us and can swing it in our favor. Now, they got to have some heavy ozone grind time type shifts, and this is Nealer's time of year. I know he's engaged. He's excited. He was real good when he first came back, his first game against Vancouver, he was real good in the game when we clinched the conference in San Jose. And I expect him to be a positive factor in the series.
Game one tomorrow night, Flames Avalanche. We can't wait to see what you guys bring in the spring. Best of luck, and thank you for doing this today, Bill.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, and have a great night.
You too. There's Bill Peters, head coach of the Flames, likely candidate for the Jack Adams, I would think.
Yeah,
he'll be
he's
in the running
in
anyway, for
well,
sure.
For sure. Top five, for sure.
Top five, for sure. He's done a great year. First year in Calgary. And
this is a year where you could almost have a five-pack, five or six-pack as far as coaches, and I don't think you'd get an argument from too many people.
No, you wouldn't. There's, I mean, Craig Berube would be in the running, Rod Brind'Amour, and then there's obviously Cooper and Trotz and Peters
Cassidy.
You go,
I mean, there's maybe an eight-pack, yeah, realistically.
Yeah.
But that's, you got to whittle it down to three.
Well, it's funny. The guy who won it running away last year, Gerard Gallant,
yeah,
he just brings a second-year team back to the playoffs. Just
not
back
even,
to the playoffs.
And honestly,
second-year team in the league. No problems.
I don't know of anybody that had him up for Coach of the Year.
No, he never gets brought up. No one touches on him.
Has anybody won? I'd have to go back and look.
Back-to-back
Back-to-back.
I don't know. Let's look that up, Al. Let's see.
It's almost like, you know, you win it. Okay, let's move on to the new blood.
So,
who's the next
it's an unwritten
guy?
Rule where, God, you are not going to be mentioned for 5 years minimum.
Right. Well, like Joe Quenneville's only won it once.
Which is insane.
In St. Louis, I think, in 2000. Like, I don't think he ever won it when he was in Chicago.
He's a brilliant coach.
Well, exactly.
But
like, forget even just hockey. Look up every sport. NFL,
but the narrative
NBA.
Always is, and it probably we should get away from it, it's the unexpected. You know, the team, you know, Brind'Amour, nobody had Carolina. If Montreal made it, Claude Julien, you know, nobody had Montreal. That's the beauty of it. When you should be looking at the top of the standings and go, man, that team's been a perennial All-star team. Now, if you really want to choose the people at the top, maybe it's the manager of the year that's put together those teams as well. Like Julien Brisebois / Stevie Yzerman. Could Steve Yzerman win executive of the year?
I don't think he will because he stepped down right before it started, which is goofy. Al just sending this in. Jacques Demers won it with the Red Wings back-to-back years, 86-87 and 87-88.
Wow.
The Red Wings in the late 80s? Are you sure about that, Al? Yeah, I'll trust him on that one. One of the goofiest explanations ever for wearing a shirt to a basketball game. Anthony Davis, it happened this afternoon. We'll play it, we'll get into it, and we'll touch on Magic Johnson stepping down in L.A. next.
So we are going to do the full rebuild up top draft lottery.
Yeah.
Is it a lottery or a bracket?
Coming up, it's... it's a lottery. Who can really commit to a full rebuild and get that number one hairstyle?
If we can come up with 15, then we can basically just use the NHL draft lottery. You know, we'll use whatever website it was, and we'll apply. You know,
the simulator.
Simulator, exactly. And we'll put one guy.
Okay.
You know, apply it to every spot, every slot 1 through 15.
How many do we got? We got about 8.
We got Brian McCabe.
Gaber's got to go Messier up top. He needs a full rebuild.
Gaber needs a rebuild of the salad. Jimmy Benning.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Jeff Van Gundy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Todd Reardon. Todd Reardon.
Yes.
Kevin Shattenkirk.
Yeah, Shattenkirk.
Just flat monkey bum up top.
Zach Johnson, you mentioned him.
He
takes his hat off after a round.
And game over.
And LeBron is an obvious candidate because LeBron's got something going on.
I think
he
spent a lot of money on Strutty's guy from Turkey.
Strutty's got to be on here.
Strutty
has
to be committed
Strutty.
To a full
Jason
rebuild.
Strudwick.
Strutty will get the Oilers. So he's got a 6.5% chance of winning
exactly.
the lottery.
That's a good call.
Okay, so you can email us live at tsn1050.ca. Tweet me at HaysTSN. Text us 1050/50. Yeah,
someone in the sporting world with a tough salad that needs a Messier treatment immediately, but will not commit and needs to go full rebuild that will go in our hair draft lottery.
Yeah, we're rebuilding hairstyles here. And you can't retool on the fly. We know that. It's patchwork and it won't work.
We got to do a full rebuild.
Yes, you need to commit. All right, scorched earth like the Jays, like the Leafs a few years ago.
See, I think a guy like Bruce Boudreaux is in the rebuild situation, but he's older. He's 60.
Yeah, I think Brucey is just committed.
He's had enough,
that's his, you know, that's where we're at. So, anyway, we'll
We'll work on it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we invite your feedback here. So Anthony Davis, the New Orleans Pelicans wrapped up their season last night, and Davis wasn't even playing. He's just cruising around. And he was wearing a T-shirt in the stadium that said, "That's all, folks." Everyone knows he wants out. Everyone knows about the trade request.
Right.
So in New Orleans, they were a little bit sensitive to that. Like, you know, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you messaging or why are you basically putting forth your message via a stupid slogan on your shirt?
Right.
As an outsider, I didn't really think that much of it. I mean, he wants out. He's going to get out.
Right.
It could be deemed literal. That really is it, folks. He won't be in that building again as a member of the New Orleans Pelicans. But still, you know, is it a little bit classless?
Yeah.
Like, is it unnecessary? Yes. So I guess he showed up today, and he was doing his presser, end-of-the-year presser, and he was asked about the shirt that he wore last night, and this is what Anthony Davis said in his explanation.
I didn't choose it. I actually didn't choose it. It was hanging for me already when I put my clothes on. So.
Do you know who hung it?
No. Not sure.
You're like, stop it.
You don't know who hung your clothes?
Yeah, he's claiming somebody else, like a stylist, picks his clothing. He doesn't even look at. Like that's so ridiculous.
Like just
it is.
Just
leave.
Own it.
Just leave.
Just own it. Be like, listen, you know, I thought it was kind of funny or goofy.
Yeah.
You know, just honestly, just be honest and say I'm out. Like everyone knows I want out. This is the problem. He's in a way like there's a middle ground. You got to stop sending pictures in. Wayne Rooney, yes, Wayne Rooney will be added to the list. Wayne Rooney's on. I'm trying to
focus,
and I got pictures of Jimmy Benning.
The one with the skullet is amazing.
Someone photoshopped a skullet on Jim Benning.
Well, should we put 1986 Al Iafrady
in? I was just going to say, did Iafrady make the cut, or is he...
Can we go into the time machine?
I say we just say 1986 Al Iafrady.
86 Al Iafrady. All right.
Yeah.
Al's in. There's a middle ground between Jimmy Butler forcing his way out and Anthony Davis forcing his way out, where Davis is making his agent do all the talking. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth, trying to claim, like, no, he loves New Orleans. No, I never said I wanted this. No, I never did that.
Yeah, that's...
Very passive-aggressive. There's a middle ground where you want out, we know you want out, be respectful as much as you can, but you don't waver.
No.
Don't pretend like it's not the truth. And I think a middle ground can be found, should be found, because these are two extremes, and both of them, I think, are bogus. But claiming that some other person put the shirt down and you don't even
ridiculous.
Know who it was.
It's like, a joke.
Come on, get
real. This guy's lying. You don't just... What if it was an awful...
Right, a homophobic slur.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, you didn't know that. Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You look in the mirror at least once to see how the shirt fits or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a brutal comment.
Donald Trump.
Oh, Donnie Trump.
Yeah. He has got to be in there for the rebuild.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
Ray Ferraro coming up. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.